able to come be with y'all
Here at Unity. The Lord give me a desire of my heart. I'm like Joseph. I dream, and I've always dreamed about preaching in Amory, Mississippi. And I can mark that off now. And dream on, dreamer. And I got some other dreams. I ain't stopped dreaming. But I'm glad God will give you the desires of your heart. And it has been an honor. Thank you, Pastor, for letting us come. And I'm still trying to figure y'all out. We don't know each other that well, and we're just trying to figure one another out. I don't know if y'all go to the beach or the coast or the Gulf. I don't know if y'all golf or fish. Surely y'all don't golf down here. No. Fishing's in the Bible. Jesus was a fisherman. Jesus actually preached from a boat. And so I'm getting some Bible on that fishing. I like to fish. But I was telling Brother Sava when I come in this morning, I don't know. I was leading up. I don't know if y'all have TV or not have TV, or if you got, I know y'all got Facebook because you own it. But there's a thing going around right now in the high school. There was a baton runner, a lady, young lady, young female, and they were doing that marathon. This is a true story. And they were running that marathon. I think it was up in Virginia. It was a high school tournament, a state tournament, and they were running that marathon race. And of course, there was one woman, and she was way out front, and she no doubt was going to win. But the other two, they were running right beside each other. And they were coming around that last curve, and as the one on the outside, or she was behind the woman in second, and she broke out on the outside, and she started to pass the second place runner. And that second place runner took her baton and hit her in the back of the head twice and knocked her out, and knocked her out of the race. And I told Brother Sable, you know, we've heard a lot the services I've been here about the baton that's been passed down to you and I. And we've talked about Brother Sammy a lot. Brother Sammy would always tell me, he'd say, Jimbo, he said, you ain't jealous of that one that's behind you. You're always jealous of that one that's right beside of you. And to think that they'd take the baton that had been passed to them and beat somebody with it. And I've not felt that spirit here. And it's just been an honor and a joy to get to come. And I thank the Lord. Pray for us. I got to leave in the morning about 5 o'clock my time and drive 10 hours to the east coast of North Carolina and preach. And by the time I get there, I ain't going to know Genesis from what I'm going to tell them. I'm going to say, I was in Amory, Mississippi. And I was praying, and God gave me a message about another man's reign. And if you were here this morning, you know what I'm talking about. If you aren't, you ought to get that CD of Brother Sable. But it's been our honor. Genesis chapter number 8. Genesis chapter 8. And have tried to pray about what the Lord would have us. I didn't pray today. I want to tell you that. I prayed a long time ago when the pastor invited us. I knew he asked us to preach maybe 2 times. And so my brother always told me, he said, try to pray before you go and don't let the atmosphere change your burden. You can get in some meetings and bad can rub off on you and mean can rub off on you. But I was reading again, and Brother Sable, I'm just so honored to be back with him and our people. We love him up in the mountains. But he was reading there in 1 Corinthians 12, and I saw one of the gifts that I'd like to have. He said that there was a gift of healing with that same self spirit. And I sure don't want the gift of hurting people. And people say, well, you don't preach on nothing. Well, tune in to our live stream at Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in Burnsville, North Carolina. And we just preach the Word of God. But in opportunities like this, I want to be a help, want to be an encouragement. And that is a gift, I believe. And I'd sure like to have that one before I leave this world. Genesis chapter 8, if you'll stand with me, we're going to move fast. It's 8:35 where I'm from, not here, but we're going to try our best to share the burden that God give. In Genesis chapter 8, and God remembered Noah, verse 1, and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the 7th month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains with an S on it, of area. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I don't always have titles. I'd rather have a message than have a title. But I got to thinking, it's a lesson that I've learned, is you one day or another, like we mentioned last night, you're going to face a day or you're going to face a storm. And I've had to learn in the last few years, pastoring a good group of people up there on the mountain, that everybody's going through something and everybody don't go through the same thing at the same time. But here's what I've had to learn as a pastor. The thing that you're going through tonight is the most important thing to you that there is. I learned that in that hurricane that we had. One of our dear elderly ladies, a little bit of water got in her basement. And I'm telling you, we were going to have to move the earth to get that water out. I mean, people had lost their homes. People had lost their vehicles. 13 people lost their lives. But for that dear old widow, that was the most important thing in her world, was what she was dealing with. Now, I'm just going to go straight to the message and ask God to speak to us tonight. I don't know what anybody, you know, what we're going through. I know everybody's going through something. And the greatest storm is the storm that you're dealing with. If we were going to deal with introduction to the thought tonight, in chapter 7, in verse number 16, we know that God's salvation was removed. God told Noah and his family to go in, and the Lord shut the door. And there'll come a day, we've heard some great men of yesterday's name, Dr. J. Harold Smith, there'll come a day when God will shut the door. Now, I don't know how much it is. I know it was in Noah's day that God shut the door, but there's a lot of people shutting the door on themselves. And I'm glad the door is still open tonight. Revelation, I done read it, that there is a door and it still is open. But this day in Genesis chapter 7, it was the Lord that shut that door. And then we find out in our text in verse number 4, where that great sanctuary, where the ark rested. We'll say a little bit about that tonight. But in chapter 7, verse 7, Noah went in, his sons and his wife and his sons' wives went with him in the ark because of the waters of the flood. The greatest storm that was ever recorded in Noah's life, it was his storm. And sometimes, I don't know how y'all are down here, but up in the mountains, we'll get to, on Wednesday night, they call it objects. We'll take objects of prayer. You know, prayer requests, things. I had to learn that too. But we'll take objects of prayer. Now, I've watched when, you know, we've had several with stage 4 cancer. We had one family, and I can't tell you all the stories. There were several in that family were murdered by a family member. That family member went out and just killed her by cop. He went out and faced the police in that little town I live in. And I'm just telling you, your storm is the greatest storm. But when them major things started happening, I watched our people that had their own individual burdens, and they didn't want to say anything. Now, I don't know who it was, and you got to be careful saying them this day, but somebody wrote a song, and it said, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. And I want to be like Him. I want to love like Him. They ain't no big prayer request and small prayer request. He said, casting all your care personally upon Him. I'm glad that He careth. We heard a little bit about that this week. But notice in verse number 1, I see God and His sovereign remembrance. The Bible said, and God remembered Noah. Now, God didn't have an old age moment and forget Noah and scratch his head and just, you know, like I do sometimes, and a light goes off and says, my goodness, what about Noah? No, the word remembered, it means to mark as to recognize. It means that God knew every second exactly where Noah was. Before the first raindrop fell, God knew where he was. Halfway through that storm, God knew where he was. And when the storm ends, and the Lord says a lot about that in our text, God remembered Noah. And I just come down here to Amory to tell you all that God has not forgot you and your labor of love. You may be a young Christian and you think nobody knows what you're doing. God does. You may be some of these elders that have kept the lights on, kept the meetings going. God has not. He's not forgot you. I'm glad that's what He does. It rained in chapter 7, verse 12. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long storm. Some of you have been in a storm for maybe a week or two or a month, but no doubt they some. And you've been in it a long time, and you're just wondering, is it always going to be like this? is. Can it ever change? That's what we're here to share to you tonight. That God, I can't say that He arranged it, but He allowed it. He didn't stop it. But when this storm started, God had a specific time when it was going to stop. That's our hope tonight. They were singing that old song about that hope that the child of God has. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior. Hey, there was a time that God remembered Noah. And as God remembered Noah, I just want you to remember, you're not off God's radar. He hasn't forgot you. He hasn't, overlooked you. I got to thinking, the things that Noah went through from chapter 7, verse 4 to chapter 8, verse 15, about a year's time. It had been about a year since Noah heard from God, about a year. And don't you know one of the greatest storms in the Christian life is when it seems like that God is silent, and then your mind gets, I don't know how much it is of the devil, but your mind gets to playing games. Does it really pay to serve God? Is this what you get for being faithful in the last day? Don't you know that Noah had some of them battles? Has the Lord forgotten it? He preached right. He did right. He lived right. But I'm going to tell you, God remembered Noah. And then in verse number 1, and all the every living thing and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. There's a lot you could say about that, but Seton's simplicity is that God gave Noah, He gave Noah the provisions to start over. It may seem like you've lost everything. It may seem like everything is turned upside down. God give them the provisions that when this storm is over. I done forgot to tell you, Brother Merritt, you know what I found out during Helene? As bad as they are, as big as they are, no storm lasts forever. I didn't tell y'all either. I had to preach this 2 weeks after that message last night at our home church with my son going through all of those situations. I'm telling you, God is faithful. It surprises me every now and then. It ought not do it, but He is faithful, and this is real. This isn't something I grew up in the eastern part of the United States, in the Appalachian culture. I don't do it because my brother did it, and my daddy did it, and my granddaddy on my mother's side did it. I do it because He called me. And this is real. It's not because I woke up on a Monday and didn't want a regular job and I wanted chicken and wanted to go fish. He called me, put me in the ministry. And I'm telling you, the things that we're hearing is the help that God has for us. You may have been in a storm. You may be in one, or one may be waiting on you when you get home. But God remembered Noah. They give him provisions to start over. Then in verse number 1, God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters were assuaged. One man that I read after, he said if it had been a strong, stormy wind, it would have caused great damage to the ark. But it was a soft, the word breath there, he made a wind. The word wind means breath. It means a gentle, hot, drying. It was the breath of God that come over that land and that ark at that time. And the Jews call this first mention of wind, they call it the wind of mercy. Thank God for the good mercy of God. When I get up there to where I'm going, whenever I get there, God's assigned to my heart to preach. The things you're going through tonight, that's not your fault. You know if God's judging you over sin. But there's come a mentality that we're going through what we're going through because God is mad at us. Hey, God let this thing begin in Noah's life, and there's a definite time that God brought it to an end. He made a wind. I was down there in the nice motel praying this afternoon. God, would you let that wind from another world blow in on somebody tonight? Give a little bit of peace. Give a little bit of mercy. That wind of comfort in the time of the storm. About every one of us that's been saved any amount of time, we can remember a time when that sweet breath of God from another world did what we could not do. That's the only reason we're here tonight. It's not because of our ability, our prayers, or our study. It's just by the good grace of God. Notice in verse 2, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. What I saw right there is this storm, it came in every direction. I understand. Everybody don't understand. That's a phrase I learned when I was going through that with my son. I understand everybody don't understand. When my brother took his life, I understand everybody don't understand. When the deacon board meets you and they're not calling to see if you want to raise, they're calling to say, you got to move for medical reasons. We're sick of you. I'm going to tell you, God is that real. The fountains of the deep, that's coming up. The windows of heaven are open. This storm's coming from every direction. I mean, this thing is coming, and not only does it come up, but it goes down. And then what it starts doing is it starts closing in. And I'm going to tell you, the greatest warfare that I've ever experienced as a child of God is the warfare of the mind. I've had people turn, so did Jesus, so did David. Every one of us in here have been hurt at one time or another. But I'm going to tell you where the battleground is. It's in the mind. That's why we need to gird up the loins of our mind. That's why I thank God you got a Bible conference. I go to some places that they call a Bible conference, but you don't hear much Bible. Hey, do you know what's going to help you when you leave this place when the meeting's over? It's going to be the fellowship of the brethren. It's going to be the good word of God. It's going to be a testimony of some saint that said, hey, God brought me through it, and you didn't even know they were going to say that. You've just stepped into it. You're just walking. That is the good ability of God. The storm's coming in every direction. It's every direction. I got to wondering, I can't find the sun, S-U-N, in this text. But we do know over in chapter number 9, the sun is going to shine again because the ark, A-R-K, or A-R-C, that's that rainbow, the ark of God, that covenant promise. I didn't know this, and Brother Ware was giving out them statistics and things this morning. When the sun hits the raindrops at a 42-degree angle, that's when that bright bow appears. Not a 41-degree angle, not a 43-degree angle. At 42 degrees, that's where all them colors come. And what that tells Noah in his day is that I'm not going to judge like that again. Don't you know after the storm, them clouds had come and the rains might start to trickle down. They'd get to wondering, is he going to do it again? Is he going to judge us again? Are we going to have to go through that again? God gave them a covenant promise. The S-U-N will shine and the S-O-N will shine. I want to say it two or three times before I leave. No storm lasts forever. None of them. There's never been one. Notice what it said in verse 2, and the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. 7:11 shows the day that the storm started. Chapter 8, verse 2 shows the day that God stopped it. I think it was Brother Ware again this morning was talking about the ocean and how God set it in its parameters and said, don't go no further. That's what this word in verse number 2, restrained, means. It means to restrain by force. Who can speak to the ocean? Who can speak to the wind? Who can speak to the waters? It sure wasn't Noah, but there's a God in heaven. It means to restrict it from going any further. East Tennessee language would be something just like this. It is enough. That is enough. Hey, let the day break. Let the morning come. Hey, God allowed it, arranged it, however we can understand it. He allowed it to start, but he's putting it to an end. And there will come an end to what you're going through. Do you not remember the last time you thought it was the last time? Remember the last time you thought you'd ever preach? Remember the last time you thought you'd ever sing? And still here you are in 2025. After everything we went through in government, after everything we went through in the changes of religion, here you are on a Tuesday night Bible conference, 50 years down the road. You remember the last time you thought it was the last time? Notice in verse number 3. Verse number 3, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. As I just said, the Lord makes a declaration, and the declaration was, it's enough. It's enough. He said, the waters returned from the earth off the earth continually. Why did he put in there, and after the end? After the end of the 150 days. After the end. That word end, it means a coast. It means a border. It's a definite ending. It's without a doubt. There will come an ending to what you're going through. The sun will shine again. You will smile again. Don't leave the ark. Don't jump out of the boat. Don't leave church now. Stay with God. I'm getting ready to show you one of the greatest things that hope to me. Y'all say that down here. I was preaching up Virginia one time. I was up there in a mountain church way up there, and you either dug coal, hauled coal, or sold coal. And I was up there, and I tried to preach, and I went to the back door. Their custom was, I stood by the pastor, and there's a dear saint of God. She come through there, just a mountain woman, just a granny mountain woman, and she shook my hand, and son, she had more blisters on her hand than I've had in my whole life. You know what she said? She said, "Preacher," she said, "you hoped me." It must have been all over my face, Brother Don, because the pastor at Castlewood, he looked at me, Brother Leonard, he said, "She meant to say that, Jimbo." I thought she was going to say, "You helped me." I like to get some help. You can get help. I mean, we can say, and I'm not against singing. I like every bit of it, but you can get some help. You can get some help. But when you leave here with hope, when you go back to whatever it is and you got a little bit of hope that this is real and God is right and that God can and that God's done it for somebody you ain't never met, it might give you a little bit of hope that God can do it for me. I'm just telling you, after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. There was a day that it started and there was a day that it ended. And for the third time, no storm lasts forever. 150 days and 150 nights. If I calculated that right, that's 3,600 hours. There was a time when that clock hit 12 and here come the storm. But there was another day later on when that clock hit 12 again, and God said, "That is enough." And the sun started breaking, and there was a little bit of hope starting to help. You see, I'm thinking about last night and what I told you in the darkness of everything my son was in. That one tattoo that he had, it identified him as a carrier for the Russian in Asheville, North Carolina. That's why we didn't know if he's dead or alive. But about a year and a half after that storm, I did one of the most precious things I've ever done in my life. I got to hold my grandson. And there was a day that the storm ended. There'll be a day. There'll be a day that it stops. Look at verse 4. I'm done. "And the ark rested." I always thought Brother Don, and Brother Don was up there when all that was going on. Brother Don was up there when that young family, when half of the family was murdered. And I always thought when my son got right, I'd shout to Asheville, North Carolina and back. And never, just hit a step every now and then. But when my son got right, you know what it was? The ark. See, that ark had been places it had never been before. It had seen things it had never seen before. That ark, when that storm finally was abated and God said it is enough, it rested. You may not understand that, but there'll come a day. There'll come a day. You say, "Well, I really thought when so-and-so got saved, we was going to shout it out." Well, sometimes you do and sometimes you can, and sometimes it's like, and when God reconciles that family, and when God puts mom and dad back together, and when God salvages this, that, or the other, whatever it is you're facing, you may not run to Tupelo and back, but it may be something like verse number 4, "And the ark rested." You know what that word "rested" means? It means to settle down. It's been in a turbulent storm. That ark's been turned every which way. It rested. The storm's over. The ark rested. Bible says a lot about rest. Matthew 11, Exodus 33. There even remains therefore a rest to the people of God. But notice this again in verse 4. You ever ask God why? "Lord, why did you do what you did?" "And the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat." God put in my King James Bible what month it was and what day it was, because God specifically remembered when it started, and God wanted Jimbo to remember the day that it stopped. There'll come a day. I was preaching in Dayton, a preacher friend of mine in Covington, Georgia. his daughter was so strung out on dope, a preacher's daughter, a good preacher, good church, good young girl raised up around the things of God, got strung out on dope, got mixed up in everything the world has to offer. They found her laying down, I think it was on Interstate 75 on the interstate. She was laying down in the middle of the interstate hoping a tractor and trailer would run her over. And it was just like God. If you've ever traveled Interstate 75, there wasn't no tractor and trailer come by. Somebody called her, pulled her aside. And I never will forget when Preacher Morris called me. Now, he wasn't resting like I did. He was exploding. He said, "She's home. She's home. She's home." Next time I went down there and preached for him, here she come. Here her husband come. I mean, I let them sign my Bible. I'm not kidding, because I wanted to show people this is real. They can come home. They can get right. God is still there. We might need a revival of just remembering that God is able to do. He is. If He ain't able, we've got the biggest show on earth. Barnum and Bailey said it was the biggest show on earth. If we don't believe God can do it, the Independent Baptist, whatever you want to call, we're the biggest show on earth. But I've seen too much, and I've seen God be God, and I've seen God resurrect the dead on almost, put life into what seemingly was gone. After the end of the 150 days, the waters, they were abased. They were over. God marked a time. He marked a specific time. Notice where it landed. Upon the mountains of Ararat. However you say that, Ararat. I do know this, it's not a valley. It's on the mountains. This is Seton simple, and y'all already heard it. That storm they'd never been in before, when it was over, it took them higher than they've ever been. It took them closer to God than they've ever been. You remember that Cyrenian, Simon the Cyrenian, when they compelled him? I don't believe he carried Jesus' cross. I won't argue, but I don't believe he did. But they compelled him, and he fell in behind Jesus, the Son of God. And do you not know he heard things that others didn't hear? He's walking behind. He's closer than he's ever been, carrying his greatest burden he's ever carried. That when that whole situation was over and the ark rested, they were closer to God than they'd ever been. It's only in those times that you learn about God. Anybody that's ever helped you, helped us, they had to go through some hurt. God chooses some. They're appointed to affliction. But aren't you thankful they still tell their story? You might be in the beginning of it. You might be in the middle of your storm. You say, "Preacher, it's just always going to be like this. I can't sing and I ain't going to start tonight." But there's an old song they sing up there in the mountains. It says, "In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by." Many times Satan whispers. He's a liar and a father of it. But he'll whisper, "There's no need to try. There's no end of sorrow. There's no hope by and by. But I know, K-N-O-W. How do I know it? I was in Unity, Mississippi at a Bible conference in March of 2025. "And I know thou art with me. And tomorrow, whenever he determines tomorrow is, I'll rise. Where the storms never darken the skies. Till that storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast. Let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by." I'm just reminding you, he has this far. You're thinking, this is it, going down, it's over. Well, you've thought that before. But this storm, it's the one that's right in front of us this evening. My Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, I've benefited such great blessings of